Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. Brussels sprouts get a bit of a bad rap. You either love them or you hate them, which doesn't make any sense to me because I absolutely love them. Fried up with a whack of butter, delish. So straight off the bat, this episode might not be for you, but hopefully there are more people out there who love Brussels sprouts than don't. Elise, I assume you're a Brussels sprouts lover, someone who grows them, puts the hard work in.
Absolutely. I'm all for the Brussels sprouts. Done well, like you say, with a bit of butter and a bit of salt. Cooked, not overcooked, but just charred on the outside. Perfection.
Do you roast, fry? How do you like your Brussels sprouts best?
I'm a fryer.
Yeah, me too.
Simple.
Simple. Delish.
Yeah, delish.
Cut them in half, chuck them in, off they go.
Bob's your uncle.
Very nice. I think they really remind me of Christmas. I know they're not eaten in summer. It's probably because like the European winter Christmas.
100%. But yeah, yeah. You've got, yeah, Tess has spent too much time living in Europe, I think. Yeah, because while it may be Christmas here coming up, we will definitely not be eating Brussels sprouts.
Or if you are, they're definitely not coming out of the garden.
I don't know where they've come from. And they've been imported from far. But it is the time to plant it. At Christmas, so good thing we're doing today's episode when we're doing today's episode.
And a little bit roundabout, we actually did this with tomatoes. We did harvesting tomatoes before we ever spoke about growing them, which was just when we happened to start the podcast. We've done an episode on things that might go wrong with your Brussels sprouts.
Yes, the troubleshooting episode.
The troubleshooting episode. So that is definitely a companion, a part two to this part one, if you will.
Is. Yes. Listen to this now and then in a few weeks or months, listen to that one. But obviously we are covering similar things.
Yeah, I think so. And I think from my memory of that episode, a lot of the troubleshooting stuff that can go wrong happened when you were putting them in the ground to start off with. So
exactly.
Listen to them both.
Exactly. But the idea is you're going to nail it all after listening to today's episode and then you won't need a troubleshooting episode.
Yep. Sounds
but
good.
Should you, it's there. And like I said in that episode, Brussels sprouts are not easy to grow. This is not beginner territory. Does that mean you shouldn't give it a shot? No, not at all. But if things do go wrong, it's not you. It's the sprouts.
It's the sprouts.
Or maybe if this is your first growing season ever, maybe go for kale instead.
So I do recall from that episode, because I think you said it about 650 times, you're planting midsummer, and if you don't plant in midsummer, you plant it too late and you've stuffed it.
I think I said it 1,000 times.
Do you want to say it again?
Let's make it clear, everyone, in case it wasn't from that. You got to get them in early. Midsummer. So early to midsummer.
Are we saying if this is not in by Jan,
if this
is too late?
If you are going with seeds and you you don't have them in by Jan, it's too late.
Yeah. And if you're going seedlings,
you can put them in Jan.
But if it's Feb, you've stuffed it.
If it's Feb, it's too late. Oh, look, maybe someone a bit further north, a bit warmer, maybe could get away with it. But actually, Brussels sprouts do best in the cool climate. So the southern parts of Australia, Victoria, South Australia, Tasmania are going to do really well with it. So the further north you go, you're actually just not going to be as successful growing them. So, sorry to everyone in the Northern Hemisphere because this is not going to be that helpful for you. But seeds, December, seedlings, January. After that, don't bother, grow something else.
Does that translate to June and July? Yeah, they must.
Surely.
Plus 6 months.
Yeah. Just plus 6 months. First month of summer for seeds, second month of summer for seedlings.
And if you don't do that, then don't bother.
Pick something else. Yeah, don't bother. It really, I cannot stress this enough. It just, it's the thing that everyone stuffs up. And it's like, you are doomed to fail. You will not get good Brussels sprouts if you've done this. So like, you know, and Brussels sprouts are in the ground for 5 to 7 months, which is a very decent whack of time. So if you've put them in at the wrong time, you're going to have half your year of a garden bed that isn't going to deliver. So we definitely do not want to make that mistake.
Do the seedlings need heat? Like, can you put them in too early? If you go, I know that we're doing this episode in December, but if we go, you know, the first week of December, you're planting them, would it not be warm enough then?
It definitely needs the warmth of summer to get a really good head start going into autumn and winter once it's colder. But I do wonder, say you planted them late spring. I mean, the seeds would germinate. So I wonder, there will be a point where it's like too early. I think if there was too much heat, you wouldn't get those tight Brussels sprout heads. You'd just end up with like flowers effectively. Okay. So I've never heard of someone getting them in too early, but I'd say, given how much I've stressed it, the temptation might be there. So, so like late spring is probably not necessary. It's actually not going to help the cause. Because what we want is we want to give them a really good head start for all that warm weather, have them be quite an established plant going into the cold weather. And then once it's cold, that's when the sprouts form.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that gets frost, like me, the best Brussels sprout flavor comes after a frost.
Ooh.
So this is the first advantage, probably the only advantage I can think of being in a frosty area. So if you get frost, then it actually would be a very good crop for you to try and grow.
Nice one.
I say try and grow. That's a bit negative, isn't it?
No, try and grow. Try and succeed.
Try and succeed. You grow it. Yeah, good crop to grow.
Okay, so I think we're all on the same page about when it's going in the ground.
But this timing can actually cause us a bit of problem.
Oh, no.
And you'll get this one, Tess. So mid to early summer, your patch is full.
Ooh, it is.
So you've got your tomatoes in, you've got your zucchinis in, you've got your eggplants in.
Got your cucumbers in.
You've got your cucumbers in. Yes, your basil, all the recent episodes we've done. So what, your chilies? What is difficult is finding a spot in this time that traditionally almost nothing comes out of the garden, as in the entire plant gets pulled out. The two plants that I tend to pair the Brussels sprouts with are peas and snow peas.
Mm-hmm.
Can sometimes, not this year because it's been so cold, I think you've still got plenty of run on your peas and snow peas.
Yep.
But in a warm year, they can actually be done and dusted by the start of summer. Or your garlic. So that comes out usually late spring, early summer. For me, it's usually December. So that actually times nicely. But if you haven't – so just think when you're planting your spring garden, which obviously you've already done at this point by the time you listen to this episode, but just think, where can the Brussels sprouts go?
Could you, for that first part of spring, save a bed to say, okay, I'm going to put some lettuce in, for example, something that's a quick crop, but knowing that your Brussels sprouts are going in.
Yeah, that'd be the perfect way to do it. And lettuce is a great one because if you plant them early spring, they're going to be done and dusted by...
Before it's too hot, yeah.
Or something like radishes as well, you could get a quick harvest of. Rocket, you could get a quick harvest of in that time. So, yeah, just think a bit strategically about it. And the temptation to put in all those fruiting crops is great, but if you do the whole garden with it, we're going to miss out on Brussels sprout opportunity.
Okay.
Which we don't want because they're fabulous.
So you mentioned seeds and seedlings when we're talking about timing. Do you have a preference with what people should be growing from?
Well, it kind of ties back into this garden bed dilemma. What I always do is grow my Brussels sprouts from seed, but I container grow them.
Okay.
Now, the reason I do this is because then I can grow them quite big in containers, and they might be in that for a month, start to finish. And that's bought me a month extra that my lettuces or my rocket or my snow peas can be in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be quite convenient from a timing perspective. Aside from the timing perspective, I actually don't care if you grow from seed or seedling. I'm happy with either.
They're not a tricky seed like the chilies or...
No, they're not a tricky seed to germinate, especially in the warm weather. They will germinate quite fast.
Nice.
And seedling-wise, they're very happy with the transplant. I've got no issue. The problem with the seedlings sometimes I find is the nurseries don't necessarily have them at the exact time that you want to plant them. So I sometimes find the nurseries are a bit slower to bring them in than what I would like to plant them.
Yeah, okay.
So from that perspective, you've got to be able to get the seedling when you yep. want the seed. Like I would suggest now, we're in first month of summer, that if I trotted down to my local nursery, I don't think they would have Brussels sprout seedlings now, even though I wouldn't be opposed to planting them now.
Mm.
So the timing issue. But seed is very easy.
Okay.
We're not talking zucchini easy, but close to.
Yeah.
If you've grown kale from seed, same.
Okay.
Have you done that?
No.
No? Okay.
Growing from seed's not for me.
Look, it's a lot harder. It takes a lot more time.
I've got something in my seed, my containers at the moment, and I have had probably less than a 30% strike rate. So we can talk about this in the seed wrap up. I mean, in the season wrap up.
In the season wrap. We should actually, because my seed germination this year has been terrible.
Ooh,
the worst I've had in years.
Okay. So we're going to come back and do an analysis of this.
You know what also we need to come back and discuss? This is just a little segue. After doing the staking zucchinis episode recently, I have started staking my zucchinis as discussed. I probably wouldn't have bothered other than the fact I feel accountable to assess the staking
as you should.
As I should after I said I would. And I'm doing it the other day at the leaves. I was like, God, Tess is right. These leaves are so spiky and annoying and like irritating.
Yeah, the leaves I'd forgotten.
Like when we were talking about it and you're like crapping on about the leaves. I was like, oh yeah, yeah. But now
you're being a bit dramatic.
And then I was doing it. I was like, yeah, this is a serious barrier to entry to the old staking situation. So I'm with you. So we'll do a season wrap up and we can reflect on all these things, including both our woeful seed raising. But Brussels sprouts, seed or seedling, the benefit of seed is I really like purple Brussels sprouts.
Ooh.
These are very fancy. They probably taste the same, but they just look so beautiful.
And we love some colour variety.
We all always love some colour variety. I find them almost impossible to buy a seedling.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to buy a seed.
Okay.
So if that's of any interest to you, you might want to get a packet of the old seeds and container. So I'll also say this for growing from seed. In the warmer weather, so in summer, stuff just germinates so fast. And we've talked about this before, like the heat issue. So it's actually easy. If you can keep the moisture up, you don't go away for a weekend and think you're going to come back and your seeds are going to be fine. If you keep the moisture up, it is much easier to germinate seeds in summer than what it is early spring.
Okay.
Because it's just so much colder. So it's not a bad time to be doing it. Now, if you want to go for the classic green, super productive, most pest resistant, blah, blah, blah variety, you're going to look for a Long Island Brussels sprout.
Okay.
The irony of this name. You can remember it
because of Long Island iced tea.
Well, yes, but we've got Long Island in America and then we've got Brussels sprouts. So I don't know how this all comes together or where these names are from.
Like geographically.
Yeah, to me it's a bit confusing. We're on different continents. But Long Island Brussels sprout, very productive, classic green variety.
Fabulous.
If you buy seedlings, my hot tip would be, even if they're not labelled, they're going to be these. But as a seed, if you're going to purchase seed, that's what you'd look for.
Do you think your purple ones are less productive than the Long Islands?
Yeah, marginally.
Okay.
But not to the point that I'd say don't bother.
Yeah, right.
But marginally, yes. And even the plant itself looks very beautiful because the leaves are purple too.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's having nice. Both of them, a little bit of a scenic situation in the veggie garden.
I like it. Like it a lot.
I like it
and
too.
And particularly because they're going to be in for so long.
Well, exactly. 6 months. And in winter, as discussed, the garden's always looking a bit crappy. So any kind of productive and pretty situation we can get going in winter,
I think
is quite good.
Where are we putting them in the garden?
Well, the one thing I want people to remember first off is that they are brassicas. So in this family, we've got kale, we've got cabbages, we've got broccoli, we've also got rocket, although I'm less stressed about rocket in this situation. But I don't want you planting them anywhere that you had those things before.
Mm.
Brassicas, it's important to get the crop rotation down pat. That's the first thing. Second thing is we want full sun. This was one of the caveats in our how to stuff up your Brussels sprouts. Full sun.
Full sun, full sun.
Full sun, full sun. They can deal with a little bit of partial shade, but okay, I think but very minimal. There. I think just ignore that. Here's the thing, as discussed in the troubleshooting episode, what is full sun in midsummer when you plant them may not be full sun come winter. Yes,
you need to know, particularly for us living in the suburbs and we don't have big open outdoor spaces, what is casting shade on your garden bed and sun, different heights in the sky, that's going to change throughout the year. So
it will.
You need to know that.
Yeah, and when you're planting them, that is going to be the ultimate max amount of sun that's ever going to come, being the middle of summer.
Yeah.
So it's only downhill from there. So if you're teetering on the edge and it's, you know, midsummer, it's...
Find somewhere else for them.
Find somewhere else. Full sun, full sun, full winter sun.
Will they do all right in a pot?
Yes, you can grow them in a pot, but I'm a bit loath to suggest it because it's going to be a freaking huge pot and you're going to have like plant in it. So look, if you really wanted to, they also can get quite top heavy. So they need like a good root system to hold them strong in the ground, this kind of thing. So look, it can be done, but I don't think it's ideal.
Okie dokie.
If you were going to, if you only were growing in pots, I'd say stick to your kale or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're going to plant them 60 centimetres apart.
Great.
They are very hungry plants. So I want a very, very nutrient-rich soil.
Mm-hmm.
I say this with all things, but these are on the heavy feeder end.
How tall do they get?
Maybe like a metre? 80 centimetres to a metre? Yeah, that would be – that's a really – oh, maybe a meter is a bit of an exaggeration. I'm going to say 80 centimeters.
Okay.
But you think – so actually people might not even realize this. So how Brussels sprouts grow is it's like a kale – people know what a kale plant looks like, I suppose, like a tree with branches coming off. That's the kale. Well, in the Brussels sprout plant, it's the same kind of tree with branches coming off, but at the bottom of each of those branches is like a node that forms the Brussels sprout.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the whole stalk of the plant is covered in Brussels sprouts.
It looks very cool. If you have not seen one before, blew my mind the first time I saw it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting plant.
I think I pictured that they might grow like mini lettuces.
Like from the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cute. I can see that.
That would be cute. But no, that's not how they grow. So we'll have to get that picture. You've got to find this picture of your Brussels sprout. So we'll get that back on Instagram.
There'd be nothing else that I can think of that grows even remotely similarly.
No.
That you harvest like off the stem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, if you don't know what they grow like, definitely, definitely look at a photo. So you can think about one plant, even though it's going to take up quite a bit of space. If that gets to 80 centimetres, obviously the top doesn't have Brussels sprouts on it. It's got kind of like a cabbagey leafy head. But there's a lot of Brussels sprouts on each plant.
How many do you reckon you get? Like 30?
Nah, more than that.
Oh, that's good.
I reckon maybe 60.
And I mean, we're not at harvesting yet, but when you harvest them, you can just like take a couple off.
Mm.
And have your dinner and come back the next night. And
yes. So one of the other reasons why I like them is they're not every single one is ready on the exact same moment. At the bottom of the plant, they will start first, kind of like a zucchini does, right? Like you get the zucchinis on the bottom and then you harvest those and then
more grow.
They'll all be growing at the same time but at different stages. So the ones at the bottom might be walnut sized and they're ready to harvest. The ones further up the stem might be the size of a 5-cent coin.
Yeah, okay.
So then you just keep like succession harvesting them up the plant, which I friggin' love because I really am not a fan of things that all are ready at once. Secondly, this is winter. So the entire of winter, or at least a good portion of it, we're going to have Brussels sprouts every few days that we want them or, you know, every week that we want them. So that's a very nice crop to have because there's not much else going on that I think is as exciting as a Brussels sprout in the depths of winter.
So we jumped ahead. Let's get back. What are we worrying about? I mean, a brassica, I know a few things we might be worried about. But what are we worried about with in terms of pests, slugs, snails, cabbage moss, anything that we should be paying particular attention to when it's young?
Yes, the cabbage moss.
Mm.
Now, being a young seedling, we'll just divert to slugs and snails for a sec. Slugs and snails are always going to be attracted to young seedlings. But actually, given we're planting these in the height of summer, slugs and snails probably aren't going to be a big issue. It's too hot for them. So that's nice.
Too hot, but it's also been very wet where we are. So maybe have your slugs and snails solution ready to go.
You're right, actually. If there's ever a year where your Brussels sprouts will be susceptible to slugs and snails, it's at the moment. Because, yeah, definitely in my garden, they're still prolific.
Mm.
Ridiculous. So, yeah, slugs and snails, get your option sorted before you plant. You're right. The cabbage butterfly moth situation is going to be your biggest setback to your Brussels sprouts.
Ooh.
So we've talked about this so many times on the podcast that while brassicas will grow in the warmer weather in summer, we don't generally grow them then because the cabbage moths and butterflies are just too pervasive and they just will absolutely decimate a plant. But as we've mentioned here, we have to grow these early, otherwise we're not going to get the crop. So it's a bit of a balancing act with how to manage them. We've done a whole episode on a whole lot of options, and a lot of them are preventative rather than, well, say preventative, or you kind of need to get ahead.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to that, because if there's ever something you're going to need to use it for, it's this.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say that's kind of easy here is that we're not trying to prevent a whole kale plant or a whole broccoli plant from getting smashed. We're just trying to prevent a little seedling from getting smashed. So it's almost easier. So the way I like to do it is to net it, because netting little seedlings is easier, quite easy. Yeah. Netting big plants, not so much. So what you got to make sure with a net, though, with a little seedling, you can't just fling a net over them, because it's actually too heavy for a little seedling, whereas we might fling a net over a bigger plant. What you need to do is just either put a stake in the ground or a hoop, or even put a milk carton in there. I don't care what it is. Just something that's going to hold the net up off the seedling. And there's nets. Just make sure you buy ones. They're quite fine so that the butterflies and the moths can't get through.
Yeah.
That's going to be the easiest way. And then once the weather cools down a bit and the plants are bigger, the cabbage moths and butterflies are going to piss off, and then you take the net off and you're good to go through winter. Or autumn. But yes, that is, if you just plant the Brussels and don't think too much about it, I feel certain the cabbage moths and butterflies are going to cause you problems.
So I'll just say here, we have done a whole discussion on cabbage moths / butterflies, which are the same thing, different words. So go back, have a listen.
No, they're not the same thing, but treated the same way. So they might as well be the same
thing. For all intents and purposes, the same thing.
Exactly.
Go back and listen to that. And also, I was just thinking a moment ago, you mentioned crop rotation briefly. Mm. If you don't know what that is, we've got an episode on that too.
We do.
And slugs and snails, a whole bunch of different solutions. So check out the slugs and snails episode if you want to know more about that.
Yes. Yes. Perfect. Look at that. Just
a little wrap up.
Bang, bang, bang. Got you covered everywhere. The one other issue you might have, and we have talked about these before, but we haven't actually talked about treatments, is the aphids. These are those little grey, dusty things that you've had on your kale before and your broccoli. They can also attack your Brussels sprouts. I think I'm not as stressed about them as the butterflies, because I just don't think they do as much damage. But if you've got a really bad infestation of them, a bit of pyrethrin spray, which is like a natural pesticide, for want of a better term, just a bit of that on them will do a really good job.
Just on the leaves?
Just on the leaves.
Do you need to spray if it rains?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it rains. But I find that if you can just kind of break the population a bit, like some of them on it is not a big deal.
Mm.
You know, it's only when they're like decimating the whole plant, which often I find doesn't happen. So I kind of just leave them. The other thing with the aphids, right, is when we're growing kale in summer and we want to harvest the leaves, it's really annoying when you go to harvest your kale or your head of broccoli and there's like aphids in the head of broccoli.
Mm.
That's a pain in the ass, and I've definitely had that. Also, I don't like spraying with anything even remotely around the time that I'm going to harvest. So I'm not going to spray all my kale leaves and then go like pick them for dinner, you know, a couple of nights later, or my head of broccoli. But with the Brussels sprouts, because we're dealing with these issues in summer and I'm not harvesting anything off this plant until winter, I'm not as concerned if I had to use a little pyrethrin spray on it.
Yeah.
And secondly, I'm actually not that concerned about the aphids full stop, because by the time I'm harvesting those sprouts, the aphids are long gone. So it's not like I'm going to be eating aphids, you know. So actually, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever treated my Brussels sprouts for aphids. I've seen them and I just ignore them. Sometimes I get the hose, depends on the size of the seedling, obviously, and just like squirt them off.
Mm-hmm.
That works surprisingly well for a lot of pests, is the good old squirt. So yeah,
great one.
That's another option. But it's going to be the butterflies and moths that's your issue, not the aphids. But there's a few issues now we list them.
If your plants get chomped a bit, likely to grow back?
It depends on the amount.
Okay.
Definitely will come back surprisingly well. But if they're past the point of no return, they're past the point of no return.
Sure.
I would say I've never got through a summer without losing at least one.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe plant them.
Knowing that you might lose.
Yeah. Yeah. To kind of overdo it just a little bit. Mm-hmm. More than what I would for, say, a tomato or a zucchini, which I'm never that stressed about losing. But yes, I have lost some. The other problem is if they get too smashed, often they do come back, but the problem is it stunts them so much that even though they come back, it's almost like you've planted them too late.
Yeah.
They're too behind the eight ball. So that can be the other risk. So I would say if the plant is so damaged that it's going to take months to recover, maybe just get it out and just use the space for something else. But that's the thing with the net is if you do it properly, it's perfect.
Yeah, good one.
I don't even know if the aphids can get through the net. Don't know. If they couldn't, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it? So there's a few maintenance things we need to do. Not need to do, but can help the situation as well. So like I said earlier, they're a big top-heavy plant. They're almost like a steak to zucchini in that they're a tree with this fruit effectively growing off the side of it. Can get very top-heavy. So once the plant is of a certain size, I don't know, maybe like 15 centimetres, 20 centimetres, hill up some soil around the base just to kind of give it a bit more of a sturdy landing. Like obviously you can't do this when the plant's too small, otherwise you're going to bury the thing. But once you can give it a bit more of a hill, I would do that. I stake my Brussels sprouts. I don't know if a lot of people do, but I do. I think there's always a risk that they're going to fall over, and I have had that happen. So I just stake them and then it's over. So again, going back to the staking zucchinis episode, I want you to get that stake in earlier rather than later so we're not damaging the root system. Now, this isn't as stressful as the staking zucchinis because the Brussels sprout naturally does want to stand up. So you're just kind of giving it a little extra support. So just a couple of ties at different points on the plant a couple of times in the growing season is all it's going to take. It's really not an onerous job to do, and to prevent it falling over, I think it's worth it.
Can I tell you a funny aside?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this episode's going for so long, but anyway, we're in too deep.
Yeah.
After we did staking zucchinis, someone asked me what the episode was this week, and I was like, staking zucchinis. And they thought I said steak and zucchinis.
We've gone into the cooking segment with the old steak and zucchini.
So I can actually see how that sounds. Yeah. You sound like you're saying steak and zucchini.
And steak and Brussels sprout. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
Back to Brussels sprouts.
Okay. So, yeah, do the staking or don't, but preferably do it.
So they generally, in theory, will hold themselves up.
Yeah.
Okay.
All things going to plan, they're fine. But we can just help them a bit. The other thing is if you're doing a really good job and you've got this massive plant with, you know, heaps and heaps of Brussels sprouts,
it will be a great shout.
Well, exactly. You've got even more. Like if you're not doing a good job of it, it's probably got limited chance of falling over. So again, we're setting ourselves up for absolute domination of the Brussels sprouts, which I think the stakes would help with. Now, the leaves at the bottom of the plant, sometimes these will go a bit yellow. Cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you can do is you can cut off any – you can give it a bit of a naked haircut around the bottom like we do with tomatoes. Mm. Once the young sprouts have started to form, and you'll see them because they'll look like little like warts initially and then they just keep getting bigger and bigger, you can take off some of those bottom leaves around. Don't do it too early, but once you see the sprout, just get a knife and cut them off. That's going to help with airflow and helps with the development of the young sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bit fast and loose with this. I don't do it with great consistency, but you know, there's the theory. I think it's not essential, but it probably helps. And definitely, you know, anything that's going to get airflow around the bottom of a plant, we're for, especially at the moment.
Mm.
Give it a feed with some general fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a Brussels sprout fertilizer, but, you know, ideally the soil would have been perfect, but given what heavy feeders there are and if they don't have enough food, you're not going to get those tight sprouts and lots of them. So I think this one is probably one of the few times I'll say it's worth putting a feed in the calendar around the time of sprouts forming.
Okay.
And the only other difficult thing to think about with maintenance is we are planting seedlings in summer. We don't do that often. Seedlings are going to need a lot more attention with the watering.
Mm.
So where your tomato plant, you might water, if it's really hot, you might water it once a day and that's perfectly fine. A seedling on a really hot day is actually going to need more attention than that. So just think about when you get them in the garden that at least until they're a bit more established and those roots have gone a bit further down, they are going to need more TLC. So that's the downside of planting in summer as well.
Once Well, I mean, I was about to ask once summer's over, like, do you have to keep the water up? Then I've realised you're probably getting more rain anyway. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Even by autumn, often it's just getting enough rain.
Do you mulch?
I do, but I think that's just more of a weed suppressant thing.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think it's, like, super essential for other reasons, like some of the other plants we talk about. Yeah. So if you do it, fabulous. And if you don't, I think we're okay.
Come harvest time.
Yes.
Are you picking your Brussels sprouts off or using a knife?
You can kind of snap them off.
Mm.
I use a knife.
Okay.
But you don't have to. So okay. Snap or slice them off. I assume that the snapping off can be done quite cleanly because a lot of people just snap them.
Mm.
But I'm always just partial to a clean cut. and harvest them from the bottom up.
Yeah, sure.
Harvest them when they're walnut sized. Because if you leave them on the plant too long, they actually start to get bigger and puffy and kind of turn into a bit, like they're a bit flowery.
Yeah, right.
They're not as like tight head. So the ideal Brussels sprout has that like really tight head. And that's actually quite hard to come by. And if you've ever tried to grow cabbages, it's the same kind of thing in that like a good cabbage has the tight head and a bad cabbage, that sounds a bit sad, kind of gets a bit
loose
and will flower. So the Brussels sprouts, if you leave those plants in kind of once the second winter starts warming up, like that very end of winter, start of spring, any Brussels sprouts left on the plant will flower.
Oh, that's quite nice.
Which is very pretty. And if you want to collect seeds, could be handy. But as far as an eating perspective, don't think it's a good thing.
We're in the food game.
We are in the food game. So make sure all Brussels sprouts are harvested before the weather warms.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say warms, like you're not feeling warm, but, you know, the seasons are changing. So that's the time to get them off. So really from end of autumn, you can often start harvesting and then kind of to mid to late winter.
Nice.
Yeah. And then fry them up. If you're going to store them inside, which I don't know why you would, but say you harvested them and you didn't want to cook them for a few days, only wash them right before you're going to cook them, if you're going to wash them.
Okay.
Don't wash them and then store them. They don't store as well.
Okay.
That's the same with purchased ones, but I can't imagine someone buying them, washing them, fridging them. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. I don't even think I do wash them when I grow them myself.
Anything else to say on maintenance?
No, that's it.
So the big question, is the juice worth the squeeze? This is where we look at the effort-reward ratio of today's topic. The categories are superstar, high effort, high reward. Completing this will make you feel like an absolute rock star. Best on ground, low effort, high reward. Quick wins and fill-ins, low effort, low reward. And finally, the wooden spoon, high effort, but not much reward.
So the first thing I want to know, Tess, is are you, the Brussels sprout fan, going to give this a crack this year?
Oof. My concern in my garden is that I don't have a full sun in winter spot that isn't a pot.
Yeah, that's fair.
So probably not. I don't want to set myself up for failure.
Mm. And your grow bag has already got stuff in it.
And I could get another grow bag, but yeah. I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Small space gardeners, it's not going to be the number one crop.
So you reckon you could do Brussels sprouts in one of the large grow bags?
Yeah,
I do. Okay, food for thought.
Look, if you weren't hell-bent on – if I was designing your garden from like a productive small space position, like I wouldn't pick a Brussels sprout for it. But I know how much you love them and they are a lot of fun to grow. They're really beautiful to look at and like they do taste so much better than the supermarket ones. Mm. So I actually think the reward would be there for a Brussels sprout lover.
Yeah.
So
the reward is there.
Yeah.
I mean, the writing's on the wall. It's superstar status. Or wooden spoon if you don't love them as much as I do.
If you don't love them, then just don't bother.
It's not even on the matrix.
It's just not. Just leave it off because, yeah, they're a bit of work and if you're not going to fully appreciate them for what they are. So we've got a few pros and cons to the old Brussels sprout. Con is takes 5 to 7 months in the garden.
Yep.
That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Pro, you get to harvest them in winter,
Which is great.
Which I'm all for, because, you know, it's a bit of feast and famine over the seasons. Negative, they're a bit difficult, and the cabbage moss situation in summer is a pain in the ass. Pro, they're actually quite expensive to buy. So if you can grow them yourself, that's going to help.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else have we got?
I really like that they don't all harvest at once.
That's a really good pro.
I think that's great.
That is
good.
And
in winter as well. That's really great.
That is good. Yeah. Negative.
Negative. You've been stressing me about how hard they are.
Oh, I suppose the other negative is finding – oh, okay, here's a negative. It's also a positive. I was going to say negative is finding a spot in the garden. But then again, if you're going into the patch in December, say it's you've got a little time off over Christmas, like it's too late to put in – a tomato. It's too late to put in a pumpkin.
Yeah,
it's late to put in a zucchini.
True. So,
but it's also too early to put in something like a cauliflower.
Yeah. So anyone who's got some gardening time over the Christmas year period.
This lines up quite nicely with the old Australian summer. Okay.
Very nice.
Yeah. No, I'm going superstar.
It's clearly a superstar.
Yeah, it's clearly a superstar.
Unless you hate Brussels sprouts. In which case, I don't think you got to this end, to the end of the episode.
You haven't listened. No. And all power to you. If you've got to the end of this episode and you feel like this is all just a complete shit show for you, wait another month and put kale in.
Okay.
Kale is the easier little brother of Brussels sprouts. Mm-hmm. It also likes to be in early, but probably not as offensively early as December. So, you know what? Let's do an episode on kale in a couple of weeks.
Can you believe we haven't done one?
I cannot.
Okay.
There you go.
Get in
the
diary.
Kale is coming, everyone.
Rooting for You is hosted by Elise and Tess. Artwork by Lauren Janine. You can find us on Instagram at Rooting for You Pod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com. And remember, we are rooting for you.